Yosher Divrei Emes Os Chaf. Okay, so he mentioned actually earlier in the Sefer in Os Yud Dalet an insight from the Maggid of Zlatchev on Pru Urvu. Okay, so let's talk about Pru Urvu in an age appropriate way. The Nachsul Edvarinu Haniskar Le'el Shomer HaMaggid. By age appropriate, I mean that I'm the only married person in the room. The Faresh Inyan Pru Urvu. Let's explain the concept of Pru Urvu. Right? The Torah's first, it's kedai to think about. The first mitzvah of the Torah is Pru Urvu, is that a person should bring children into this world. And the Yosher Divrei Emes has been telling us about elevating Gashmiyus, so what it means for a person to be Davuk Bahashem. So obviously, an intimate relationship between a husband and a wife is a very physical act. And we need to understand what exactly Hashem was thinking when Hashem made that the first mitzvah of the Torah. So he explains, V'amar lefi zeh ha'inyan kach perusho. Hashem yisbarach siva lanu lifros ulaholid banim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us to produce children. Aval hizhiranu, but at the same time, Hashem has warned us, turn the page, machmas shedavar zeh hu gashmias v'chumrias gadol, because obviously an act of intimacy between husband and wife is a very physical act. And God forbid a person could be no different than an animal in the wild in performing this act. And like everything that Hashem commands us, there's an element of ruchnius. Not just an element, the essence of it is the ruchnius shabo. Again, you would think like Hashem wouldn't start off the Torah with this. You know, like of the 613, you would think, again, if I'm writing an instruction manual, so I put the instructions in an order that's sensible. And if I'm just writing random thoughts, so I guess the order doesn't matter. But if I'm trying to instruct someone how to assemble something, so obviously step one comes before step 25. So you would think, maybe HaKadosh Baruch, when he's trying to introduce us to a life of Ruchnius, you would think maybe Hashem should start us off with something of a more spiritual nature. And yet the first mitzvah, according to the Moneh HaMitzvos, is Pru Urvu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is starting us off with a mitzvah that demands tremendous elevation of Gashmias. So how could Hashem start off with such a thing? And he's not emphasizing so much the starting off, but Eich mitzava osanu lihiska Hashem. If Hashem wants us to live elevated spiritual lives, why is there such a clear commandment, such an important, essential commandment? The continuation of Klal Yisrael and life itself depends upon it. So why would God command us in an act of Gashmias? Al ze amar urevu, right? Pru urevu. We need to understand the dual command of pru urevu, loosely translated as be fruitful and multiply. Okay, but what does that mean? Be fruitful and multiply. We're on the second page, shalom. So what does it mean? What does it mean? Be fruitful and multiply. So urevu ratzalomar. If it just said pru, so pru would mean to produce children, but it's pru urevu. What's derived from the urevu? That it shouldn't just be that your zivug, that the bonding of husband and wife should not just be an act of physicality, liosim dvukim b'tayvos hazman, to be attached to each other because of the obvious sexual attraction of husband and wife. Va'oz ma'atem chashuvim ki kamochem ka'ayinu. Because then what's the point of that, right? Meaning then you're highlighting your physicality. That's not why Hashem put us in this world. Hashem put us in a physical world with the intentions of us elevating that world. The katnusam uzi irusam v'shiflusam kmo shar bali chayim u'behemos. We'd be nothing other, right, than our smallness and our lowliness would be emphasized, and it would highlight the fact that we're not any different than, again, than the rest of the animal kingdom. Why do we look down on animals? So you'll say, we don't look down on animals. Well, compared to humans, we do. We have a normal worldly outlook. We understand that human beings are more important than animals. Why? They're created beings. The Torah commands us to have respect for animals. According to some, it's a daraisa, tzar bali chayim. Many shita is exactly what the source for tzar bali chayim is. According to some, it's an isur daraisa to paint animals. But we all know that man, that humanity, the human beings, is greater than animals. And the reason that we feel that way is because we're intelligent, thinking, rational beings. We can control ourselves. Animals, you know, seem to operate based on physical desires. So animals are, again, the words, shekatanim be'einenu, they're small in our eyes, erkam, their value, their relative value to compared to human beings. Why? L'nitiyasam l'chomer l'gamri, because of their physical nature. V'lezehim holchim b'koma kafufa. And therefore, animals, an interesting thing to think about, most animals walk they walk on all fours, b'koma kafufa, with a bent posture. That their head, so to speak, the place of their intellect, is aligned with the rest of their body. Of course, the head is slightly raised above the body. But as opposed to human beings, where the head is entirely structurally arranged above the body. Right? Rav Moshe Wolfson says, part of the avoda of sleeping in a sukkah, when we lie down in a sukkah, and we kind of level the playing field whenever we go to sleep, but specifically in the context of the mitzvah of sleeping in a sukkah, when we lie down flat and our head is equated with our body, there's an element of surrender to Hashem. And the sukkah represents the tzeilu de mehamnusa. It's the structure of faith. So I want to be almost like an animal, be mevatel my das. I don't want to think so much like a human. It's the same thing on Purim also. Why in Purim does the Rama say you should drink more than you're accustomed to and then go to sleep? Go to sleep means lie down. Even out your body with your head. That's a form of expressing that I'm being mevatel my das. My brain is not on top, with my body following afterwards. Right? So I look at an animal, I say, oh, an animal, his body is the same as his head. Liosafilu nafsham hu rak mizakus chomer ha'afar lo yoser. Right? An animal has low levels quality of soul. V'im kein mahim chashuvim. V'im tidmu lahem tiyu katanu b'shvelen kamosam. So again, so if I emphasize the animal within myself, as Hashem said, na'aseh adam, let us make man. Who was Hashem speaking to when he said, let us make man? He's speaking to all the creatures that were created before Adam Rishon, which means all the animals of the animal kingdom are inside of us. Yeah. So you find the pasuk, I think it's in Baaloscha. V'ha'asafsuf asher b'kirbam, a reference to the Erev Rav. Asafsuf asher b'kirbam, the simple way to translate it is the rabble rousers amongst us, or amongst them. Right? But more precisely, Rav Avram Shor wrote this in one of his Halacha Chvalibuvs, Leil Shabbos Kodesh. He says, Ha'asafsuf asher b'kirbam also means the asafsuf, the jungle asher b'kirbam, which is inside of us. There's a whole world inside of us, right? Nasa Adam, we're made up of everything. What do I choose to emphasize? Do I emphasize the aspect of myself that's guf, that's animalistic, or do I somehow elevate the body? Again, the irony is Hashem started the Torah with the mitzvah of Pururavu. So gashmi, so physical, such a chumriyus dika mitzvah. Okay, so when we look at animals, we say, oh, look at an animal, it walks bakoma kafufa, it walks bent over on all four legs, you know. I'm much better than that. But am I? V'afal pisha tem bakoma zakufa, and even though you walk erect with your head on top, tiyu nechshavim kamo ki'ilu halachtem bakoma kafufa. If I don't choose to elevate my mind, if I don't elevate, like we say when we put on our tefillin, in that paragraph, if we're putting on tefillin, it says, what? The neshama shemamochi, the neshama in my mind. So I look at an animal and I say, an animal, you just have a nefesh. I have a ruach, I have a neshama. Right? But if I don't use my brain, if I don't make choices, if I don't think differently and see differently and then in turn act differently, then what right do I have to walk around, you know, I should be walking around on all fours. I tell a story, the Baal Shem Tov, there's two stories. One story is that the Beis Aaron of Karlin, I think I told you this once, the Beis Aaron of Karlin in Parshas Bo. The Beis Aaron in Parshas Bo says the Baal Shem Tov was traveling one time, and he was in a field, and it was Shabbos, time for Shabbos. So he built himself a little makeshift Erev, built himself a little, you know, enclosure. And he was Makabal Shabbos. He started to sing Lechadodi, you know, he started to sing Kabbalah Shabbos. And there were animals who were in the field. And when the animals were in that, you know, in that enclosure, that fenced roof of the Baal Shem Tov, and they heard the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov so much elevated the air around him and the airspace around him that the animals, which were walking on all fours, they went up, you know, like the horses were walking around and the cows were up on their back legs. They were lifted up by the avira of the Baal Shem Tov. Right? So that's one way. That's one way that a person can, you know, obviously in a very lofty way, elevate the environment around him. But Baal Shem Tov had such a hashpa, he was such an Adam, a true Adam, like we say on Lag BaOmer about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Nasa Adam Nemar Bavarecha. Rabbi Shimon, you're such an elevated person, such a holy Kodesh Kadashim, Rabbi Shimon. So Baal Shem Tov was so holy that not only was he able to truly walk Bekoma Zakufa, to walk erect with his head above, right? But he caused, you know, animals to be lifted up. The flip side is a story that they say with the Baal Shem Tov, that he was once somewhere, and he saw people eating at a kiddush, and he said, people, you know, to the naked eye, it looks like people are walking erect, but I see them as, you know, down on all fours. He saw the way that people were scarfing down the cholent was so animalistic that the Baal Shem Tov saw human beings, they had the appearance of animals to him. It looked like animals to him. So again, so what do we choose to emphasize? Do we emphasize the soul? Do we emphasize the body? But if we strip away ourselves from that gashmias, and we try to cling to Hashem very, very much, to the point that even pru urvu, such a delicate mitzvah, can be done in a way of sanctity, and we, again, mufshat literally means to strip away, like a layer. They say a maisa with the Noam Elimelech. Someone was once hiding in the Rebbe of Melech's room. He wanted to see the Rebbe of Melech. And they said, you remember this line? Was it Erev Shabbos? I don't know what it was. Was it Erev Shabbos? He
walked in and
turned off his mind. Yeah, so they said that he was hiding in the room, and Rebbe Elimelech came into the room, and he said, when he walked in, he like, I don't even know, I have no idea what this means. But whoever this younger tzaddik was who was hiding wanted to catch a glimpse of the holy Rebbe of Melech, so he saw that when the Noam Elimelech walked into the room, he like took off his body and like flung it over a chair, you know? The same way we take off like our jacket and hang it up. He like took off his body, flung it over a chair. And he just saw like his, you know, neshama like hovering around the room. I have no idea what that means. But that's his Pashtus Hagashmi. His Pashtus Hagashmi also means, by the way, that when you're eating your soup Friday night, instead of bending down to the soup, you know, try to like practice bringing the soup to you, as opposed to making yourself more animalistic and bending over. Okay, so his pascha, so when a person is mufshut mechumrius kola afshur, again, each person lefi madrigasa, there's levels, obviously levels. But if we can strip away our physicality in accordance with an appropriate madriga for that person, azai tu gedolamo, then you become an elevated person. Then you become truly koma zakufa. You're able to walk erect. Kaven shitu dvukim b'Hashem yisparach, because you're clinging to Hashem. And this is a beautiful line. Look at the next words. V'yeh ha'anaf dovuk l'sharsho. You're like a branch that is what? That is connected to the root. So even though, yes, physically, in a certain sense, we see ourselves as far from Hashem. Again, Hashem is everywhere, but the notion that God is somewhere out there, like we spoke about last week, and we're all the way down here, but it's possible, as long as I attach myself properly, so I'm like a leaf on some, you know, stretched out branch of a tree that's still being nourished from its root. Via achdus echad im ha-shoresh, and I become one with the source. Ukamosh kasavti le'al, like I wrote earlier in the Sefer, the mashal of the Raya Mehemna, what we find in the Zohar, di'i isburu inun manin yahadrin mayil makor. That it's possible, again, for something which is far from the source of water to still continue to draw, so to speak, spiritual water from the source. Okay? Good? Uve'inyan ze im yishpor ha'adam es atzol mikol taivas v'ritzono, miksof lehem, vishu nim osim be'enav. So if a person can free himself again from the longing, right? Nichsof nichsafti, miksof lehem, to be longing for them. If I can free myself, that again, it's not an urge. Obviously, there are physical things that are expected of us. That's why God gave us a physical existence. To the point, though, that it's not pleasurable to me. I have to do it because it's part of physical life. Right? But it's not something that I'm pursuing, and it's not something I want more and more of. Vishu nim asim be'enav, to the point that it's almost repulsive in a certain sense, because it distracts me from my true mission. Rak yishtokek tamid labor yisborach liyidabek ilav. Rather, I'm always in a state of clinging and longing to be connected to Hashem. Obviously, says the Osher Divrei Emes, Rak She'i Efshar Lios Zelagamri. Obviously, it's not entirely possible. I'm a human being. There are restrictions of physical life. I have to eat. I have to sleep. There are limitations. But to be inclined towards spirituality, Kevan She'Hashem Yisbarach Baro Lios Nivra V'Nivdal, Aval Tshukaso Tamid L'Sharsho. Obviously, again, I have to accept that I'm a Bria, I'm a created being, but my tshuka, my longing, should be for my Shoresh. Varei ki'ilu hu sham. And where I want to be, this is a klal gadol in the Torah's Baal Shem Tov, where I want to be, that's where I am. Where I want to be, be'emes where I want to be, that's where I am. Ki shadei nofor basar ikaro. Anyone learn Maseches Makos? Whole discussion about, right, when you have a tree that's hanging from one, you know, like hanging into a different property. So do I view the tree, does the branch... Is it viewed based on where the tree trunk is? Or do I draw like a line at the fence and wherever the branches that are over the fence are considered on the other side of the fence? All right, so shade nofo, basar ikaro, means that the branches follow after the root. So even though on the surface it looks like it's extended far away from the root, but if it recognizes its shoresh, we could be engaged in eating and drinking and physicality, but as long as I'm connected, I'm rooted in Hashem, then I'm in a good place. Kevan she'ein hafsek b'neihem. There's no detachment. Va'oz nikra zeh koma zekufa hamyuchasas la'adam. And then again, I become a true Adam. She'nivra li'oz davuk ba'ashem yizbarach ha'malachi ha'shayis. And then I become angelic in a certain sense. Why? Because there's a Gemara in Chagiga. He quotes the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga says that we're like animals in three ways and we're like angels in three ways. What are the three ways we're like angels? What are the three ways that we as human beings are like angels? The Gemara in Chagiga says, Shlosha kamalachei ashares v'chulu u'mahalchin b'koma zakufa. Angels walk b'koma zakufa. Angels walk erect. Angels are structured top to bottom. Not like animals, which are flat, which walk on all fours. People have the ability to be like angels. One of the ways that you become an angel is to walk b'koma zakufa. What do you mean? Also, I stand on my feet? No. We're learning to walk b'koma zakufa means to understand and to be able to prioritize, right, and to properly relate my spiritual parts of myself to my... That people are like, speak Lashon HaKodesh, the Gemara says. Angels speak Hebrew. Okay? And what else? They're all related. Das. Right? We're like angels with our das. We have the ability to think, we have the ability to walk erect, and we have the ability to speak Hebrew language. They're all connected. What separates us from animals? Right. Hashem blew into man a spirit of life, and man became nefesh chaya, a living being. Rashi says, Unkelis says, and Rashi explains, ruach mamalla, a speaking spirit. We're different than the animals in that we have, the animals also have ways of communicating, right? Those who study the animal kingdom know that the animals also communicate. But they don't have language there that we have. And animals don't publish books of ideas. So we have das, we have language, and because of that, we have the ability to what? To truly be b'koma zakufa. To walk erect. Okay? Unlike animals. Then the Gemara says people are like animals in three ways. We're like angels in three ways, we're like animals in three ways. How are we like animals? We eat like animals. We relieve ourselves like animals, and we reproduce. We reproduce like animals, right? So you can see we have this struggle, right? Does the fact that we pru or avu, does that make us like animals? Or does that make us like angels? Again, you're telling me, you know, we're supposed to walk b'koma zakufa. We have das, we have language. At the same time, you're telling me that man is, you know, is inextricably bound to being like an animal because the first mitzvah of the Torah, puravu, is that one of the three things that makes us like animals. So he says, now we come to the point. Pru uravu. What is pru uravu? Look what he says. He says, that's the pshat in the pasuk in Vayikra, end of Vayikra, in Parshat B'chukosa, it says, v'hifresi eschem, right? The pasuk says, v'hifresi eschem, v'hirbesi eschem. Now this is what he started to explain in Osi Yudalit earlier in the Sefer. Now he comes back to it and explains it. What does Rashi say on v'hifresi eschem? I'll make you fruitful. What do you think Rashi says? V'freisiyoschem? Rashi says, Bepiria v'rivia. You'll have children. You'll have big families. It's a blessing. Ragzechi saron lasuk b'gashmias, but the more children you produce, right, that means more involvement in gashmias. V'chas v'shalom navul l'pachisus v'kandus. Then you can fall into the trap of physicality for the sake of physicality. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as part of that promise in B'chukosai, says, V'herbeis yaschem, Hashem says what? I'll help you to become fruitful, but Piria V'rivia, Rashi says. But then Hashem says what? V'herbeis yaschem. L'zehiv tachanu Hashem yizbarach, V'herbeis yaschem. And Rashi says a cryptic statement, which at this point is not at all cryptic to us. Rashi says, V'herbeis yaschem, B'koma zekufa. What does that mean, B'koma zekufa? What do you think Pashup Shad is? Right? At this point, you're blinded to the Ocean Devar Yamas' presentation. What do you think Pashup Shad is? Healthy. Okay, it could be healthy. Right? As opposed to a sick person who's stuck in bed, who's always lying down, yeah. Right? It could also be Bekoma Zakufa. Right? Literally means like with you're in your height. So we all know it doesn't mean that Jews are going to be so tall, because Jews aren't so tall. So that can't be the Pshad. Right? Maybe it means in your stature. I'll make you Chashuv. I'll make you elevated. Right? In terms of your reputation, Pekoma Zakufa, you'll be able to walk erect. You'll be able to carry yourself proudly. You'll be able to walk with an outstretched neck. You'll hold yourself up high. But based on what we're explaining, now we understand. Hashem says, I'm giving you the bracha of Puravu. I want you to be able to have large families. Ah, but the act of intimacy is a very delicate physical act. So Hashem says, don't worry, V'herbeis yaschem. I've empowered you as Jewish people, and I believe in you so much, I made it the first mitzvah of the Torah. That you can be engaged in physicality, and you could do it in a way that it doesn't contradict the koma zakufa, the elevated way that man is supposed to make his way through this world. Ratzo lomar, sha'ashpia lechem shefa kadosh, v'ruach kadshi etein bekir bechem. I've filled you with the spirit of holiness. Asher al yada timshoch ruchi eschem li. That you'll be able to be what? To be drawn after me. Lo lihi dabeg begashmias chas v'shalom. Not to, again, lose yourself in the physical act. And that's what it means. Pru urevu. Pru. Rakhas v'shalem lo lios chomri. Pru, yes. Be engaged in physical acts of intimacy. But not to, God forbid, become immersed in that physicality. Rather, urevu. Ratzalomar. Bekoma zekufa. So now, let's land the pasuk of Chumash. Because right? He's saying the pshat and the rashis in Bechukosai. And v'hefreis yaschem v'herbeis yaschem. What's the end of the pasuk of pru urevu? So what's the end of the pasuk? Pru urevu, umilu es haaretz, and fill the earth. Obviously, the pasuk pshat is have a lot of kids and populate the world. But on a deeper level, he explains so beautifully. Zeh shomer akasov, umilu es haaretz. What does it mean? Fill the earth. Fill artzias. Fill gashmias. Right. Give physicality something fulfilling. Because if it's just cheap physicality, that's not going to satisfy. Whenever a person immerses himself in gashmias to try to satisfy, it never satisfies. It never satisfies in a deep way. Did I mention this recently? I mentioned this somewhere recently. Rabbi David Aaron starts one of his books by describing that feeling of a person standing in front of an open refrigerator. Did I mention this recently? Who was I saying this? Did I say it on the Shabbos? I don't remember. Right? Rabbi Aaron, I don't remember which book it is. You're holding in his books? So in one of Rabbi David Aaron's books, he starts off by saying, you know that feeling you get like when you know, you're hungry and you go to the fridge, you open the fridge, and you're just like standing there. And you're just not sure what you want. So Rabbi Aaron says, the reason you're not sure what you want is because what you really want is not in the fridge. Right? Meaning what that longing, that hunger for something is not really in the fridge. Okay, so the cheap way to deal with it is to just find something to snack on. The real way to deal with it is to say, what is my neshama craving? Right? And why am I standing in front of the open fridge, which may have things in it? It may not be an empty fridge, right? But I just—that's not it. And that's not it. And then you pick something because, you know, because we're immature and we don't know how to satisfy that craving. So the Torah says, and it's a very deep mashal. So the Torah says, "Pru urevu umilu es haaretz." Pru urevu, pru, yes, engage in physicality. Urevu, do it in a way that it doesn't contradict your humanity. You're not an animal. Umilu es haaretz, and fill physicality with meaningful content. Ki ba'ofen hanizkar le'el, as we explained above, sha'adam davuk ba'Hashem yizbarach heitev, if a person is clinging to Hashem properly, Hu al yedei shechoshev v'Hashem yisbarach shemelo kol haaretz kavodo. Melo kol haaretz kavodo. The whole world is filled with Hashem's presence. Again, kavod, I told you, is a code word for neshama, for spirit, for essence. When David HaMelech says, Uri Kvodi, wake up my kavod, David HaMelech is not saying, you know, give me more honor and shul. Uri Kvodi means wake up my soul, arouse my spirit. So when we say, Melo Chol Haaretz Kvodo, that the Aretz is filled with kavod, with neshama, that the earth, the physical earth, is filled with neshama, right? When a person understands that, V'choshev Tamid B'zeh, and you start to believe that, that it's not two domains, like we learned last week. It's not Hashem out there and me down here. But to come to the realization that Hashem literally is everywhere, uvachol masheroeh choshe beruchnias halokus hamachaya davarzeh, and everything I see, I try to see the godliness within it. Kama shekasavti le'al, as we explained above, b'mashal bigdei tzivonin shel isha, the mashal I gave you of the beautiful colored garments of a woman. So since I know not everyone was here, I'm going to review that mashal because it's a very delicate but very extremely, extremely important mashal. Okay, so I'll tell you the mashal. He says back in Os Yud Beis, he says, again, it's delicate mashal, but it's kedai to say it over. He says, what happens, right, when a person sees the beautiful garment of a woman? Now we have to play into a little bit our animalistic urges in order to understand what we're capable of doing, right? So you're walking down the street and you walk past a woman's clothing store, and again, I don't think Yosha Dibra Emes is encouraging you to look at women's clothing. But you walk down the street, yeah, and you see a beautiful blue dress hanging in the window. So what happens when a person sees that blue dress? So he says, let's be honest, you don't just see the blue dress. Right? You start to picture a beautiful woman wearing that blue dress. So you start to picture, wow, what if I was married to that beautiful woman? Right? Meaning there's a process. Very naturally, you're able to transition past that blue dress, right, to what that blue dress might mean, you know, more to you. Now, what do you mean? What woman? What marriage? What, you know, you're picturing yourself walking out with some pretty woman wearing the blue dress. Who wear? It's just a blue dress in a window. But it's very natural, it's very easy for you to go from the blue dress to what comes next, Vamevin Yavin. So he says, so the same thing should be true when we look at the physical world. Why can't we just automatically see past the surface? We're very quick, we're very good at somehow taking that physical thing and making certain, you know, assumptions of what could come next. Right? So why is it in Tumah we're so capable of doing that, and yet in Ruchnias, we struggle to find Hashem within things. So that's the mashal that he's referring to. Right? The same way that we have the ability to connect the dots sometimes when it comes to our own physical pleasures. So why do we struggle to connect the dots when it comes to our spirit? It's because we're not well trained. Right? So again, the mashal of the woman's clothing, bistaklusam aleihem, when you look at those garments, so realize that the same thing is true for Hashem. I can look at something which doesn't, right, on the surface look like Hashem to connect the dots. I can always follow the trail back to Hashem. B'chol makom shu, he says, yachol liyos davak b'Hashem yisbach. U'kamosha Hashem yisbach b'chol makom. V'ein davar gashmi moneya makomo. Just like Hashem fills all space, right? This table is not the physical makom of this table is not blocking Hashem from occupying this space. That would be heresy to say Melo chol haaretz kavodo. Hashem fills all space. So how do I understand the relationship between this table and Hashem? This table is an expression of Hashem, right? So why do I only see a wooden table? Why can't I see Hashem? Because my eyes are not trained to see past the artsiest, the physicality of it. So therefore, comes along the Torah. In the first commandment, it says, Pru Urevu. If you can learn that even Pru can be Urevu, that even your physical intimacy can be done in a way of spirituality, in a way of godliness, then you know what? Then Mulu Kol Haaretz. Then you can fill the whole world with Hashem. If you can figure that one out, you'll be able to figure everything out. Vizeu Mulu Kol Haaretz. Not only that, what's the next word? Fill the world. Ve Kivshua, and conquer it. What does it mean to conquer the world? What does it mean to conquer the world? Ratzalomar. Ba'ofen zeh tuchlu lichvosh kol achumrius. In this way, you'll be able to conquer all physicality. Kaven shelo tiyu dvukim bahem, because you won't cling to the physical aspect of it. Chas v'shalom, rak v'Hashem yizbarach levado. You'll cling to the godliness within it. You'll be able to find spiritual depth within it. Ad kan dvar. This is the full parish of what the Maggid of Zlotchev had in mind in his commentary on Pru Revu. There's a beautiful Chassan Sofer that I like to quote. Not Chassam Sofer, Chassan Sofer. The grandson of the Chassam Sofer. Chatan Sofer. So the Chassan Sofer, I think his name is Shmuel Ehrenfeld. The Chassan Sofer says that there's two psukim that talk about, you know, filling, being filled. Filling or being filled. Right? You have this pasuk, Pru Urvu Umilu Es Haaretz, which we're learning, take control of physicality, and then Milu Es Haaretz, then you can fill the physical world with substance, with spiritual substance. The flip side is losing oneself in physicality. And specifically, it's interesting, it's Dafka, a place which is known for a perversion of Pru Urvu, or in other words, a perversion of sexual activity. And that is Mitzrayim, right? Mitzrayim is referred to in Tanakh as Ervas Haaretz. Ervas Haaretz means it's a place of Arayos. That's why Yosef HaTzadik's main Nisayon there, of course, is a Nisayon of Arayos. Mitzrayim is known for Arayos. It's called Ervas Haaretz. So what do we find in the beginning of Shemos? What do we find in the beginning of Shemos? The Pasuk says about Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, Vatimalei Haaretz Osam. What does it mean, Vatimalei Haaretz Osam? It's the opposite of Pru. It says the Chassan Sofer. It's the opposite. Pru Urvu Meluas Haaretz means what? Go fill the world with meaningful ruchnius, to the point that even the physical world is filled with spirituality. That's a holy way. The flip side is you end up in Mitzrayim, and what? Vatimalei Haaretz Osam, where the Haaretz is filling you, right? Where the Haaretz is pushing back against you. Vatimalei Haaretz Osam, that they are being filled with artzius, with gashmius, with physicality. That's very bad. To the point that the artius is dominating the spirituality. Even in spiritual things, it becomes gashmiistic, which is something you spoke about earlier in the Sefer. A person who thinks he's such a spiritual person, but even his spirituality is gashmius, you know, filled or infused. Our job is to go to the opposite extreme, to show that all my gashmius is actually ruchnius. Okay? I don't know if we should start Chaf Aleph now, because I want to do it. It would be hard to do it in two steps, and we're not going to do the whole thing now. So let me just connect this to Purim for 2 minutes, and we'll stop. Maybe 5 minutes, and we'll stop. Yeah. It's a much longer Mahalach, but I'll say it bekitzer. There's a beautiful Torah from the Rishner. Did you hear this part today before you left? I'm sorry if you have to hear it again. There's a beautiful Torah from Rav Yisrael of Rishon. The Rishner says, very interesting insight. He says, if you think about it, physical things, physical activities, always have a yud and a hey in them, in the words. And spiritual activities have a vav and a hey in the words. Right? So for example, open up the Shulchan Aruch, the Siman Reish Lamed Aleph, which is where the Shulchan Aruch says that it's a strange paragraph, and you know, a parak or a siman in the Shulchan Aruch, where it says, Kol Ma'asecha Yu L'Shem Shemayim. You should do everything, right, in a spiritual way. It sounds like a paragraph out of the Mesilas Yesharim. It's a halach in Shulchan Aruch. Bechol derechecha de'ehu, know Hashem in all your ways, kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shemayim, everything you should do should be done for the sake of heaven. And the examples the Shulchan Aruch gives, every single one of them has a yud and a hey in it. Your achila should be l'shem shemayim. Achila has a yud, a letter yud, and a letter hey. Your shesia, your drinking, yud and hey. Your kima, when you stand up, where your yeshiva, when you sit down, right? Your shena, your sleep, your sicha, your conversations, all these words. You'll see the list there in Siman Reish Lamed Aleph, and Or HaChaim, pick up Mishnah Berurah, take a look, the second volume of the Mishnah Berurah. It's in Siman Reish Lamed Aleph in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Shulchan Aruch. He has a whole list. You know the only one that doesn't have Yud and Hay in it? Tashmish, which means intimacy, but that's because the Shulchan Aruch is using a sensitive word, right? The less sensitive word is Bia, which has a Yud and Hay in it. Right. What are the spiritual words that have vav hay in it? Torah has a vav and a hay. Mitzvah has a vav and a hay. Avoda, right, has a vav and a hay. Tefillah is not spelled with yud. Tefillah only has a hay. Tefillah is spelled taf pe lamed hay. Tefillah is 515. Gematria v'eschanan. Right, v'eschanan la'ashan. The Medrash says Moshe davened 515 tefillahs. The real way to spell tefillah is not with a yud. It's important to know that. Okay, so tefillah has just a hay, which maybe we could say something about that. But physical things have yud and hay, spiritual things have vav hay. Okay? State in the Rishner, where we saw the Rishner says that. What does that have to do with Purim? So in Purim, what did Amalek do? Kiyad al keska, right? Amalek blocks out which letters? Amalek's hand is, right? Amalek puts their hand on the throne of yud and hay, so they block out the vav and the hay. Amalek blocks out the vav and the hay. Rafi yadehem min haTorah, right? Amalek attacks us in Refidim. Amalek attacks us in Birefidim, Torah says. Birefidim is not your Purim. Amalek attacks us in Refidim, and what do they do? Rafi yadehem min haTorah. They cause us to stop learning Torah well. That's why, of course, with the Purim victory, what do? Kimu v'kiblu, we reaccept the Torah. But here's the secret. Ready for the secret? You know what we do on Purim? What do we do on Purim? What does Amalek say? Amalek says, we stole your vav, hey, we stole your vav, hey. Right? You can't daven, you can't learn, you can't do mitzvahs, you can't do avodah. So you know what we say to Amalek? Give them a taste of their own medicines, kavaldik. We say, you know what? You left us with yod hey? Watch what we're going to do with yod hey. Watch how we're going to make mamish, kodesh kadashim out of yod hey. Watch our achila, watch our shasiya, right? Watch how we take Gashmias Shabba Gashmias more than any other day of the year. Purim, the Purim Suda, and look how we turn it into the biggest avodah in the world. As the biggest victory over Amalek. They steal our Torah, they steal our mitzvah, they steal our avodah, they leave us with, we leave you with yod and hay. You keep the yod and the hay. So we say, Lord, we'll show you what we can make out of yod and hay. We can be drunk and we can be serving Hashem. Does it get more Gashmiastic than that? Going back to the mashal, like an animal, koma kafufa, bent over. There's a sefer called the Seder Hayom. The Seder Hayom says, why do we drink on Purim? You know why? He says, because Haman wanted every Jew to be dead on the floor. So as a way to be mekayim that, besimcha, don't try this at home, right? But Jews drink until they collapse on the floor, right? Or maybe better, you drink a little bit and you lie down and you take a nap, like the Rama says. Yeah? But the point on Purim is to get to a point where ad lo yada, where a person is lying flat, right? So Amalek says, ha, look at you, you're an animal. I said, look, what a halig animal I am. What a halig animal. That's a great story that the Mashpia used to tell. Rav Weinberger told this story that there was a Rosh Yeshiva, a Litvish Rosh Yeshiva, who came to the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe, once for Shal Shittis. And by the Chassidim, there's a lot of pushing, you know? So this Litvish Rosh Yeshiva wasn't accustomed to all the pushing. And then, you know, he wasn't their rebbe, so like he was getting pushed around a little bit. If I shall show this, so at one point he couldn't take it anymore. He was getting frustrated. I mean, they tried to give him like a spot up front, but there was still. It was just he felt it was like a pagam and midos. Okay, that's a chassidim thing. That's how they do it. So he lost it. This Rosh Yeshiva, he lost it. So he screams at them. He says, "He's a wild chayos, wild animals." So the Ger Rebbe smiled. He says, Ober Chayas HaKodesh, right? The Chayas HaKodesh, the holy animals. Right? Like the Malachim are called the Chayas HaKodesh. The holy animals, right? So on Purim, we become holy animals. Amalek says, we're taking away your Vav and Hay. We're leaving with Yod and Hay. So we say, Yod and Hay, we know what to do with Yod and Hay. Because by us, there's no chiluk between Gashmias and Ruchnias. That's why on Purim, we change all of our Levushim, right? We're able to change the Levushim. We're not boxed in. It's Chaval. The Chaval, if he talks about, again, creating that siur of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But on Purim, the Adlo Yada, Chafal is all about attaining Das. Das means deep connection, that I see everything and I connect it to Hashem. But on Purim, we reach an even higher level, which is what? Where Adlo Yada, and yet I'm still mamish connected to Hashem. That's a complete contradiction. Das means connection. Vayeda Adam is Chav Yishto. That means Adam was intimate with his wife. Das means connection. Puravu connection. Deep connection. So Purim, you're telling me I can lose my das and be completely connected? How's that possible? That's the godless of Purim. That amidst physicality, a person can be completely mekusher to Hashem. That's the chiddush of Purim. We can't, all year round, we need tremendous das to be able to look at this table and to see Hashem. To look at a piece of chicken and to see Hashem. To be involved in an act of intimacy and to be connected to Hashem. That takes tremendous das, tremendous attachment. The chiddush of Purim is, ad lo yada, and I'm still totally connected to Hashem. But again, the victory over Amalek is Amalek. Gashmias, and you think that leaves us without connection to Hashem? We know how to connect Gashmias to Hashem. Milu asa aretz. We take aretz yes, and we fill it with spiritual content. So that's the goal. That's the goal. It's not easy, but again, that's the duality of pru urivu. Pru means pru period of rivia. Urivu become as a kufa, be like a malach. Okay, or an elevated other. Okay, bye. Thank you. Thanks for coming.